This is the October news roundup. I'll put a pin in that because we're going to come back to it. We're going to start this week's show, however, with an analysis of Tuesday's elections. Andy Downs from the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics at Purdue Fort Wayne joined us by phone. Tuesday evening, Fort Wayne Democratic Mayor Tom Henry defeated Republican Tim Smith by nearly 12,000 votes. Andy and I began our conversation looking at the impact of early voting.
The early vote actually gives, I believe, campaigns the opportunity to gauge their effectiveness. If you've been doing your canvassing and you've actually identified a lot of people who are going to vote for you, and you are able to convince them to go vote early, something they may have wanted to do anyway, but you're the one who reminded them or let them know when it started. If you're able to do that, you're actually putting votes in the bank early, so to speak. Not that we ever know how someone votes, but you know, if they said they were supporting you and you saw that they went and voted because they showed up on the list of people who've already voted, that's a good thing, and that allows you to stop campaigning to them and put more effort into other individuals you're trying to motivate to vote for you. So the idea of turning election day into a 29-day event is what good campaigns do. And when they watch those early votes come in, initially just by seeing who voted, not necessarily vote totals like we saw last night, you get an idea of how your campaign's doing. Are you actually getting people to the polls? Do you think there is movement in your direction that's positive? And so it is something that good campaigns do these days. Pay very close attention to those early votes.
Mr. Smith ran an aggressive campaign, and he ran particularly toward the end a lot of negative. There were a lot of negative flyers, negative mailers that went out, and some commercials that were negative. Do you think that impacted his totals? Do you think that was maybe not as effective as he'd hoped it would be?
You know, when it comes to negative campaigning, In contested primary elections, a hard negative campaign can actually help to galvanize that part of the base, whichever side you're on, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. That can galvanize that part of the debate or of the base, and the folks who are maybe a bit more moderate get kind of turned off by it. So the reality is, you end up driving up your turnout because your partisans become very excited, and the other people get a little turned off by it. And if they're not particularly excited about the other candidate anyway, it's easier for them to then say, "Yeah, forget it. I'm not participating in this." So that style of campaigning certainly can work in a primary, and it can work in a general election as well. The issue is, when the negative campaigning happens, it has to be realistic. It has to be connected to the rest of the message. And I think one of the challenges the Smith campaign ran into was the fact that the candidate himself would talk about the good things that are happening in the city and give credit to the mayor and to others for good things that are happening, and then turn around and have a negative message that basically said things are going terribly in Fort Wayne. And I think that ended up being a conflicting message for people, which, instead of turning off those independent voters, those soft Republicans and Democrats who maybe were not truly inspired to come out, it ended up actually galvanizing them to some degree and making them come out, because what they saw was something they believed to be factually inaccurate or even offensive. You know, most folks are happy with where they live, and while we'll complain about where we live, we want those complaints to be valid, and we want them made by us primarily. You know, we're happy to complain about things, but if the message is inconsistent coming out of the campaign, that's going to be a problem down the road in terms of vote totals.
Henry also ran a good campaign, and there had been some shifts over the last few months in how he'd talked about electric works. The trash collection issues seemed to kind of calm down. Did that play into it as well, that maybe there wasn't a reason to not vote for him?
Incumbents quite often start from the advantage that you have to decide you want to throw them out. And I think that Tom Henry was in much the same position, because when you look around the city, there are a lot of good things to point to. Tim Smith admitted there were a lot of good things to point to. You can disagree with where some investments are taking place, but in the end, things are moving in a positive direction according to the vote totals, obviously, and according to conversations you have with people. Doesn't mean they couldn't be better, just means that we're kind of happy with the direction. When you look at the mayor's support, for example, for electric works, he actually had kind of a nuanced message, which is, yeah, this is a great project, but I want to make sure that I'm protecting the public dollars that are going into this. And I think most of us can agree, anytime you're talking about tens of millions of dollars going in, there's an opportunity cost there. Those are tens of millions of dollars now not available for other projects. And the mayor's message somewhat early on was, I like Electric Works, but I want to make sure that we're not throwing good money after bad. This project has to work because it's going to tie up a lot of public dollars. And while that was couched by some as a lack of support for Electric Works, other people actually, I think, saw it as a legitimate way to look at a major investment. By the end, when the mayor was saying, hey, I like this project, I'm willing to give it extensions, but to still sort of hold the developer's feet to the fire to a degree, I think that that was a nuanced message that people can appreciate.
Let's kind of shift gears a little bit and look at City Council, which sees some familiar faces in new seats and some really close races in some spots.
When you look around the city of Vernon, I think most people at the start of the year would not have guessed that the composition of the city council was going to change from 7-2 in favor of the Republicans to 5-4. The two victories I think that stand out the most, obviously, are the victories by Hines and Chambers in the at-large race. Obviously, Glenn Hines, a longtime member of city council representing the 6th district, when he decided to run at large, I think that probably gave some inspiration to voters outside the 6th who for years have wanted to support him. Now they were going to have the chance to do that. He had television commercials that obviously helped to build up his name recognition beyond where it probably already was, and to give people a reason to want to support him. The perhaps more surprising result was Michelle Chambers coming in as well. We did not see the sort of television commercials and big media push that Glenn had, nor does she have 20 years of experience on the city council. But she filled that interim city clerk role, and she did it well. Republicans and Democrats say she did it well. And I think that earned her a lot of goodwill with independents as well as maybe some soft Republicans and certainly with Democrats. She ran a good race 4 years ago, and she managed to build on that this time. So in a year when Democrats had a good night, had a good election, it's, I think, something we can understand that she would be one of the people who would benefit from that. Beyond that, we can look to, for example, the 4th District, where Patty Hayes campaigned very hard, in spite of the higher turnout, actually lost by a smaller margin than Rusty York did 4 years ago. Rusty also ran a good campaign. And I think there's maybe some truth to the fact that the council candidates helped to drive turnout in a way that maybe benefited the mayor as well. We always talk about the coattails of the person at the top of the ticket, but we have to acknowledge, certainly in local races, there's a possibility that folks who do well in a district or in a particular precinct or neighborhood may actually also help the people at the top of the ticket. And clearly, when Democrats have a night like they had, you have to give credit all the way through. Clearly, the mayor did a good job, but also folks like Glenn and Michelle and Patty did a good job as well. And we shouldn't just cast aside folks like Misty Meehan or John Henry in terms of what they did, and Jeff Paddock clearly in the 5th District, what they did to help move the cause forward, so to speak, for the Democrats.
It feels like we saw a truly competitive contest largely across the board. There were a few that kind of ran away with it or were unopposed, but by and large, it really, you didn't know last night what was going to happen with some of those seats.
It was an interesting night. Like you pointed out earlier, when those first early votes were the only thing that was reported, I think a lot of people looked at them and said, uh-oh, this may be a much more close night than we thought it was going to be. Even those who were maybe thinking, yeah, you know what, I was falling on my sword for the party. I'm looking forward to a quick night. I can go home and this can be over. Likewise, people who thought, hey, I'm a shoe-in. I'm running in a district that's safe, et cetera. I think a lot of people saw those first, 14,000-15,000 vote totals and said, wait a minute, this is going to be a more interesting evening than I thought it was going to be. You did see that, whether it's looking at the difference between the vote totals for Chambers and Miranda in terms of third and fourth place in the at-large race, or once again back to the 5th District, or I would argue that Misty Meehan performed better than sort of the average Democrat would have performed in the 1st District, and that was after getting into the race late. It was, this is what helps to drive turnout. When you have viable candidates who are out knocking on doors, getting voters excited, even if in the end they lose, if they're out there getting people excited, that drives turnout. And I'll say in the 5th District, where a lot of people say, okay, that was a blowout, Jeff Paddock won handily, you know, 74% of the vote, Taylor Vanover actually did a fair amount of campaigning and brought attention to that race in a way that I would argue helps to drive turnout up. And that's really what we're looking for, isn't it? Participation in these processes.
Let's now take a second and look outside. We can't obviously get to all of the regional contests, but there were three big ones, and I am going to include a fourth one if we have some time, because I think what happened there was kind of interesting. Let's start with New Haven. Terry McDonald had been, and we saw three mayors, and we've talked about this before, that for a variety of reasons decided not to seek re-election. And so those seats that had been long held by a very recognizable personality in those communities were vacant. And so in New Haven, we had Republican Steve McMichael defeat Democrat Darren Peterson. Is there anything interesting about that race in particular?
I think what we saw there, obviously two people who were very interested in seeing New Haven move forward, and New Haven is small enough that dollars are certainly not the deciding factor, but in Steve McMichael, I think we saw somebody who took the campaign very seriously in all ways. So he raised a decent amount of money. He had a good strategy for contacting voters, a good message to deliver to people. Not that Darren Peterson did not. It's just I think that McMichael took this very, very seriously and yielded the benefit of that. New Haven, in many respects, is a Republican town, and you sort of start with the assumption the Republican will do well. But in a night when Democrats clearly did well elsewhere in the state and certainly elsewhere in Allen County, you still, if you are a Republican, need to remember you can't assume the victory. You have to run a serious campaign, and I think McMichael did that.
Let's kind of just move north a little bit to the city of Auburn, which saw Norm Yoder, another longtime mayor, not seek re-election. And in that contest, Republican Michael Lay defeated Democrat Sarah Payne. And it was, according to the unofficial results, it was only about 400 votes, but it looks like turnout might have been a little low.
Yeah, it was, you know, when you look at the percentage, people will say, oh, well, that was a much bigger victory than it was. But when you look at the number, raw number of people who needed to be swayed in one direction or the other, it was actually a pretty close race. And whenever you have a longtime incumbent, whether it's Mayor McDonald in New Haven, we just mentioned a moment ago, Mayor Yoder here in Auburn, whenever you have that seat open up, but it's been held by somebody for a long time, the dynamics are somewhat exciting for those of us who follow politics because we don't really know what will happen. And I think that both New Haven and Auburn were well served by serious campaigns from both major party candidates. And that's good for voters because you actually have discussions about issues and the way the office is supposed to run, how it's supposed to lead what happens in the community. And I think Auburn got to see that as well. While turnout may not have been what some folks were hoping for, may have been lower than we saw in some other cities, it was still a good race and one where what people value in the community and the direction they want it to go and how they want it to go there was in many respects the central focus. And that's very good for a community to have discussions like that.
And the city of Bluffton, Democrat Mayor Ted Ellis, another high-profile man in the community who'd held that seat for a very long time, he decided not to seek re-election, and they went to a Republican. They went to John Wicker, who defeated Charles King. The numbers are small, but voter turnout there was about 35%, which seems like it might be a little bit better for a general municipal election.
Unfortunately, while we see big variances in cities, because those municipal elections often are driven by highly local issues and candidates who are well known within the community. So, we can see a city where turnout is incredibly low, and then 4 years later it can be incredibly high. The reality is, across the state in a midterm election, if we're looking at, 30-35% turnout, we think that's okay for a midterm election, but 30-35% turnout for a municipal election is actually pretty good on the whole. Now, Bluffton, another one of those cases where a longtime mayor created a very interesting dynamic by not running. And while I'm not surprised to see the Republican win, because I think in many respects Bluffton might be described as a Republican city, certainly a city in a Republican county, what I find a bit more interesting is what happened in the city council race down there, because we saw a dramatic shift there in terms of a couple of long-serving Democratic incumbents on council being defeated in what I think Republicans are going to tout as a pretty big victory in Wells County, as they should. And they might even find that people at the state party point up to Bluffton and say that's an example of where quality Republican candidates managed to win.
In Huntington, Larry Buzzard had primaried the mayor and defeated him in May. And Brooks Fetters had been, I believe he'd been in there 2 terms, correct?
Yes.
And then 2 independents sprung up, and it looked like kind of they split the vote a little bit, and Richard Strick, an independent, defeated Buzzard. Again, the numbers are small, but so you look at the 505 votes that another independent pulled and the 2,060 votes that Strick pulled in and Buzzard's 1,577, it was really close. Had there not been 3 candidates there, really close.
Yeah, really close. And we should remember Hiles was a candidate 4 years ago as an independent, so running a second time helps with name recognition, et cetera. Whether those were votes pulled away from Buzzard or Strick, we don't know, because we don't do a lot of exit polling in Huntington. But the reality is, anytime you get a 3-way race, you open up the prospect of small numbers of voters making a pretty big difference. Remember, with a 3-way race, somebody can win literally with 34% of the vote, which is a small part of the electorate. But we see Strick at basically 50% of the vote, which is a sound victory when you're dealing with 3 candidates who are actually getting votes. This is not like some gadfly jumping into the race and pulling, 2 or 3%. Hiles managed to pull 12% of the vote, which is not an insignificant amount of vote. I think, given the nature of the primary, 3 times Buzzard and Fetters went at it, I think there may have been some Republicans who were a little upset with Buzzard for doing that. Also, Buzzard had some problems with social media later on, being what some might say wonderfully frank. Other people would say unenlightened, depending on your perspective. That probably didn't help him a whole lot. But whether those were votes that went to Hiles or not, that's something that we'll probably not be able to figure out. But Strick made it very clear from the beginning he was running because he did not like the message Buzzard was sending, nor the ones that Hiles was sending, and may have benefited from those social media episodes later on in the campaign after things got going.
Is there anything that we can kind of take away from the results that might point to something as we look toward 2020, which is going to be intense from top to bottom? There's a lot at stake in any election, but I think 2020 feels different than most and so far in my adult life. Is there anything that you can pull from the results either here or regionally or statewide that might give us something to think about going forward?
I do think that both parties are able to claim success, and that I actually think that's kind of good, because I think that competition is good in elections. It drives turnout. Democrats can focus on Indianapolis and Fort Wayne and say, look what we did in these races. They can focus on some other places, Angola, for example, Mayor Hickman being reelected up there. The Republicans, of course, are going to turn around and point at the fact that they, if I've got my numbers right, won more municipalities, won more mayor's races than the Democrats did. I think they even picked up a couple of seats. And so they're going to make a big deal out of that, whether that's by pointing to a place like Bluffton or just speaking in general terms, look, we picked up X number of seats, or we have Y number of seats more than the Democrats do. That gives them both something to point to and potentially build on. The reality is that it's difficult to take the energy, the volunteers, et cetera, from one campaign and translate them to another. But both will be trying to do that. Both parties will be trying to do that. And I think because so many people understand 2020 as a complicated, difficult, and important election, I think that a lot of people were thinking this year about how to energize folks, volunteers, voters, et cetera, and keep them going into 2020. Quite often after an election, people say, that's it, we're done, we'll come back together in February when the deadline is for filing your candidacy. I think this year a lot of folks, especially party leaders, were thinking, how do we keep this going into 2020?
Andy, thank you so much for being with us here on WBOI Presents, for offering us your expertise and perspective on Indiana politics. We appreciate it so much.
It was my pleasure, and I appreciate the fact that WBOI runs the show every week.